This is VOA News via remote. I'm Liz Peldeth. Myanmar's military government has imposed a curfew and bans on gatherings of more than five people in the country's two biggest cities. This as protests against its coup show no sign of abating. The decrees covering Yangon and Mandalay were issued on a township-by-township basis. Rallies and gatherings of more than five people are banned, and an 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. curfew is imposed. The measures are effective until further notice. Popular demonstrations against Myanmar's military regime were held for the third consecutive day Monday, exactly 1 week after the junta declared Aung San Suu Kyi and other leaders of the elected civilian government that they detained those leaders. Tens of thousands of people jammed the streets of many of the capital, Naypyidaw, and the main commercial city of Yangon. State media, for the first time Monday, made reference to the protests, claiming they were endangering the country's stability. However, the military commander who led the coup and is now Myanmar's leader made no mention of the unrest in a 20-minute televised speech on Monday night. Senior General Min Aung Hlaing instead repeated the claims about voting fraud that have been the justification for the military's takeover, allegations that were refuted by the State Election Commission. Northern India emergency teams are working Monday to rescue 37 power plant workers trapped in a tunnel. The workers were trapped after part of a Himalayan glacier broke away, slamming water and debris into a dam and at least two hydroelectric plants early Sunday. Authorities say at least 18 bodies have been recovered. This is VOA News. A day before President Donald Trump's Senate impeachment trial starts, his lawyers are blasting the case against him. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
The former president's lawyers call it an act of political theater by Democrats aimed at exploiting the trauma of last month's Capitol riot. The Democrat-led House impeached the then president on a charge of inciting an insurrection, arguing he urged backers to storm the Capitol. His lawyers say he actually encouraged a peaceful protest and cannot be held responsible for what happened. Plus, they argue it's unconstitutional to try Trump now that he's out of office, an argument even some conservative scholars dismiss. Sagar Magani, Washington.
There is worrying news out of South Africa. Health experts say the just-arrived shipment of AstraZeneca vaccines may not work as well against the highly contagious coronavirus variant that is prevalent in the country. That realization means that officials intend to put the mass vaccination program on hold before it was to begin. Clinical studies in South Africa appear to have found no evidence that this vaccine has full efficacy against the mutant variant. The AstraZeneca vaccine still appears to work against severe forms of COVID-19, according to the country's top virologist. However, against mild or moderate illness, it falls flat. More than 800,000 doses of the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine should be delivered to South Sudan by the end of the month. That's according to a South Sudanese health ministry official. Dr. John Rumunu, Director General for Preventive Health Services at the National Health Ministry, said the vaccine will first be administered to the country's most vulnerable populations. Rumunu told reporters in Juba Sunday that South Sudan met all the requirements.
BBC News with Stuart McIntosh. On the eve of Donald Trump's impeachment trial in the U.S. Senate, Democrats leading the prosecution have called the evidence against him overwhelming. Mr. Trump has been charged with inciting insurrection after his supporters attacked the Capitol last month. The impeachment managers call it the most grievous constitutional crime ever committed by a president. But Mr. Trump's lawyers have called for the case to be dismissed. Germany, Poland and Sweden are each expelling one Russian diplomat. The tit-for-tat move comes amid a growing row over Moscow's treatment of the jailed opposition leader Alexei Navalny. The head of the Burmese military has sought to justify last week's coup. General Min Aung Hlaing made his first speech since ousting Myanmar's elected government. He declared there would be new elections but didn't say when. The WHO has warned against jumping to conclusions about the efficacy of coronavirus vaccines. It said it was plausible the Oxford AstraZeneca jab would have an impact on the South African variant and in preventing severe disease. A court in Guinea has sentenced an opposition activist to 5 years in prison. Mamady Konde, who is a dual Canadian citizen, is the latest critic of the country's president to be jailed. Sudan's Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok has named a new cabinet. It includes 7 former rebel leaders who were part of a peace deal signed in October. The veteran rebel and economist Gebril Ibrahim was named finance minister. German prosecutors have charged a 100-year-old former Nazi concentration camp guard with complicity in more than 3,500 murders. The suspect stands accused of helping to kill prisoners in the Sachsenhausen camp north of Berlin. And Greece and Israel have struck a deal to ease travel to Greece for Israelis who can prove that they've had a coronavirus vaccine. BBC News.
I'm Debbie Russ with the BBC News. The second impeachment trial of Donald Trump is getting underway in the US Senate. It's the first time an American president has been tried after leaving office. Mr. Trump is not expected to attend. He faces a single charge of inciting insurrection in a speech to supporters ahead of the deadly riot at the US Capitol just over a month ago. From Washington, here's Laura Trevelyan.
Today we're hearing constitutional arguments with Republicans trying to argue for Donald Trump that this is unconstitutional. Why can you have an impeachment trial of a former president if he's left office? This is their argument, that the whole thing is suspect. What you'll hear Democrats arguing, though, is that Donald Trump must be held accountable for his actions, that it doesn't matter that he's out of office. He can still be found guilty by the US Senate. And if he were, he could then be barred from ever holding public office again.
The World Health Organization says the coronavirus is extremely unlikely to have spread to humans from a Chinese laboratory. For some time, there have been unsubstantiated allegations that the pandemic was caused by an accident at a Chinese research institute. The conclusion was announced by a WHO team on a fact-finding mission to the Chinese city of Wuhan. Peter Ben Emberuk is part of the team.
The findings suggest that the laboratory incident hypothesis is extremely unlikely to explain the introduction of the virus into the human population, and therefore is not a hypothesis that implies to suggest future studies to support our future work into the understanding of the origin of the virus.
A United Arab Emirates space mission to Mars has succeeded in putting a probe into orbit around the planet. Jonathan Amos reports.
The official announcement when it came was calm and the applause restrained. Perhaps it was the relief speaking after a nerve-shredding day of waiting. The UAE's Hope spacecraft had to execute a precise half-hour burn on its engines to reduce its speed and allow it to be captured by Mars gravity. It's now set to return unique data on how the weather and climate systems work on the planet. But beyond the science, this is a triumph for a small Gulf nation that dared to think 7 years ago that it could inspire the next generation by launching an interplanetary space mission.
Jonathan Amos reporting. The Nigerian authorities say they have shut down a facility in the capital Abuja, which was issuing fake COVID-19 certificates to travellers. The head of Nigeria's Centre for Disease Control said the lab was collecting money from people planning to fly out of the country, but was not testing samples they collected. World News from the BBC. Minister Silvio Berlusconi has emerged from months of coronavirus-related seclusion to pledge his support for Mario Draghi's attempts to build, a coalition. After talks with Mr. Draghi, Mr. Berlusconi said his Forza Italia party would play a constructive part in a comprehensive government of national unity. Forza Italia has 91 of the 630 seats in the lower house. The investigation into the helicopter crash that killed a retired basketball star, Kobe Bryant, has said the pilot was not authorized to fly in cloud and is likely to have become disorientated. 9 people died, including the pilot, when the chopper crashed in thick cloud. The president of Mexico, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, says he'll try and convince businessmen to form a group to buy the presidential plane in his latest attempt to shift the unwanted Boeing 787. Mr. López Obrador admitted it was proving difficult to sell his predecessor's aircraft. French office workers are bracing for a coronavirus-inspired law that will strip away a gastronomic taboo against having lunch at the desk. The government says it's about to bring in a decree ending the ban. From Paris, Lucy Williamson reports.
Like many cultural ideals, the leisurely and elaborate French lunch break is often defended more in theory than in practice. Even before COVID, the daily queues outside sandwich shops were just as daunting as the waiters straightening tables on cafe terraces. In fact, several polls suggest that a majority of French workers have been eating their lunch in the office for years. But long under siege, the concept of the pause déjeuner is now under attack from COVID as well. With restaurants and cafes closed, many people have little option but to eat their lunch at their desks.
BBC News.
When we made our new McDonald's Spicy Chicken McNuggets, you were praise hands emoji. Then we ran out and you were streaming.
President Donald J. Trump is underway in the Senate. At issue today is the constitutionality of holding the trial itself. Counsel to the former president argue the campaign can't be tried because he's out of office. Tom Cotton agrees.
No one is ignoring what happened over the last couple months, and of course it's going to be a part of Donald Trump's legacy. But that doesn't change the fact that I believe, as I said on the day the House passed this rush article of impeachment, that it's simply beyond the constitutional authority of the Senate.
The Arkansas Republican speaking there on Fox News. President Biden's plan to block deportations is being put on hold again. A federal judge's order was set to expire today, but it has been extended by 2 weeks. Texas initially filing the lawsuit because the deportation moratorium, in their opinion, violates federal law. USA Radio News. A manhunt is underway after a hacker tries to contaminate a Florida city's water supply.
Police say a hacker accessed the network of the city of Oldsmar's water treatment plant, attempting to increase the amount of sodium hydroxide in the water system. The chemical, also known as lye, is used to remove metals and control acidity in drinking water, and is also the main ingredient in liquid drain cleaners. A worker quickly noticed the change and corrected the system before the chemical had a chance to flood into the water supply. Police say they currently have no indication why Oldsmar was targeted or where the hack originated from. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Fewer people watch this year's Super Bowl than any other NFL title game since 2007. CBS saying 94.6 million people watched the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defeat the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. Sad news out of Chiefs Kingdom as former Chiefs coach Marty Schottenheimer has passed away. Schottenheimer dying Monday after a long battle with Alzheimer's disease. USA Radio News. A team of experts from the World Health Organization is wrapping up their work in Wuhan, China, where they've been investigating the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. The team saying the virus that causes COVID-19 most likely entered the human population through an intermediate animal and is highly unlikely to have leaked from a laboratory. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo tells Fox News he's not buying it.
Well, Bill, I've seen that headline, and I must say the reason we left the World Health Organization was because we came to believe that it was corrupt, it had been politicized, it was bending a knee to General Secretary Xi Jinping in China. I hope that's not the case here with what they've announced today. I'll look forward to seeing their reports and analysis, but I don't believe it's the case that they got access that they needed. I know they didn't get access they needed in a timely fashion, and I hope that they got to see all the data, all the science, into the lab, talk to the doctors, interview them in private in places where they could actually tell the truth about what took place, not under the supervision of a Communist Party person sitting in the back of the room making sure that they towed the Communist Party line. So look forward to seeing their results. Right. I continue to know that there was significant evidence, Bill, that this may well have come from that laboratory.
That audio, courtesy of Fox News. More news can always be found online at usaradio.com or on Facebook as well, at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
You want a Diet Coke from McDonald's?
With round-the-clock updates from Reuters journalists, here are today's top stories.
The state of Georgia is launching a probe into Trump's efforts to overturn the election. Tesla sends Bitcoin soaring with its $1.5 billion bet.
This is Reuters Now.
The Georgia Secretary of State's office on Monday opened an investigation into former U.S. President Donald Trump's efforts to overturn his election loss in the state. Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger had faced calls to open a probe after Trump was recorded in a January 2nd phone call pressuring him to overturn Georgia's election results based on unfounded voter fraud claims. Trump urged Raffensperger, a fellow Republican, to, quote, find 11,780 votes, the exact number he needed to win the state. A spokesman for Raffensperger said the probe was prompted by a Monday complaint filed by a law professor at George Washington University, the fourth request he had filed to investigate Trump's potential election interference. In a statement, Trump advisor Jason Miller said there was nothing, quote, improper or untoward about the call, adding that if Mr. Raffensperger didn't want to receive calls about the election, he shouldn't have run for Secretary of State. Legal experts have noted that if Trump were prosecuted, he would likely argue he genuinely believed the election was rigged against him, noting that criminal laws normally require guilty conscience or intent. The investigation is just the latest legal battle Trump faces since losing constitutional protections of the U.S. presidency, which shielded him from prosecution. Trump is also facing a criminal probe into his business dealings and several civil lawsuits. A Georgia election official says once their investigation is complete, the Secretary of State's office will write a report and present it to the state election board, who will then forward the matter to a local district attorney or the state attorney general.
Just one day before the second impeachment trial of Donald Trump was set to begin, the former president's lawyers on Monday laid out more details of his defense and how they plan to argue that Trump isn't responsible for the chaos at the Capitol on January 6th. Trump's lawyers denied that he encouraged violence in his fiery speech before the insurrection, during which he told his supporters to, quote, stop the steal, show strength, and, quote, fight like hell.
And we're going to have to fight much harder.
They argue that he used the word fight in a figurative sense that, quote, could not be construed to encourage acts of violence. In his speech, Trump repeated false claims that the election was fraudulent and urged supporters to march on the Capitol. The rampage interrupted the formal certification of Joe Biden's election victory, sent lawmakers into hiding for their own safety, and led to the death of five people, including a police officer. But Trump's defense team pointed to a finding that the FBI confirmed the riot was planned several days ahead of Trump's speech, arguing, therefore, it had nothing to do with Trump's speech. The trial, they said, was a, quote, brazen political act by Democrats intended to, quote, silence a political opponent and a minority party. Trump's lawyers also challenged the constitutionality of the trial now that he has left office. In an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend, conservative constitutional scholar Charles J. Cooper said that argument defies logic. Quote, given that the Constitution permits the Senate to impose the penalty of permanent disqualification only on former officeholders. In a new brief, House prosecutors say Trump's incitement is, quote, the most grievous constitutional crime ever committed by a president, and that the evidence against him is overwhelming. They urge that he be barred from seeking public office again to protect democracy and to deter any other president who might consider provoking violence in the pursuit of power.
Bitcoin got a jolt of confidence from Tesla. The electric car maker said it invested $1.5 billion in the electronic currency, driving it up more than 15% to a record high. Tesla also said it expects its customers will be able to use Bitcoin to buy its cars and other products in the near future. Analysts say the company's investment could prove to be a game changer for Bitcoin. While central banks have been skeptical of digital currencies, some big financial institutions like BlackRock and PayPal support them. Bitcoin, which has set new record highs in recent months, has had a roller coaster ride over the past decade. But Tesla CEO Elon Musk has endorsed Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies in the past. Just last week, he said Bitcoin was on the verge of being more widely accepted among investors. In December, he asked if it was possible to do large transactions with it.
You're up to date. Check back later as stories develop.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Optimum Business. Optimum Business Your Way offers secure Internet 300 for $39.95 per month for 1 year when bundled with voice, and you can customize your services. Call 866-580-1373.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Debate over the constitutionality of former President Donald Trump's impeachment trial is underway. Not only was Trump the first president in history to be impeached twice, he's also the first to be tried in the Senate after leaving office. He's charged with inciting the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Maryland Congressman Jamie Raskin, the top House impeachment manager, kicked off the first part of the debate moments ago against a defense's case that the Senate should drop the case on the grounds that it is unconstitutional.
If we buy this radical argument that President Trump's lawyers advance, we risk allowing January 6th to become our future.
In the coming hours, Trump's lawyers will have their turn to make their case, and all debate runs 4 hours. All Democrats will need at least 17 Republicans to side with them to convict Trump. So far, majority of Republicans who oppose a trial in the first place have suggested a conviction's not going to happen. As NPR's Gloria Grisales reports, the Senate Majority Leader has urged all senators serving as jurors to pay attention to the evidence.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer kicked off the proceedings by highlighting the responsibility senators now face.
It's our solemn constitutional duty to conduct a fair and honest impeachment trial of the charges against former President Trump.
Schumer said this is the gravest charge ever brought against a president of the United States. House impeachment managers and Trump's defense team will get 4 hours equally divided to debate whether the trial is constitutional. That will be followed by a vote on that question. It will be the second time the Senate is voting on the constitutionality. Last month, 5 Republicans broke with their party to say that it was. Claudia Grisales, NPR News, Washington.
One of President Joe Biden's most polarizing cabinet nominees used her confirmation hearing today to apologize for sharp elbow comments she's made about Republican senators. NPR's Scott Horsley reports Neera Tanden promised to work in a bipartisan manner if she's confirmed as White House budget director.
As CEO of a left-leaning think tank, Tanden was often personally critical of GOP senators, likening Ted Cruz to a vampire, for example, and Mitch McConnell to a Harry Potter villain. Pressed about those insults, Tanden says she knows it's up to her to demonstrate she can work with anyone.
I deeply regret and apologize for some of my past language. I recognize that this role is a bipartisan role, and I know I have to earn the trust of senators across the board.
Republicans' complaints would carry more weight if they still held the majority in the Senate. As it is, Tanden is likely to win confirmation. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
At last check on Wall Street, the Dow was up 33 points. This is NPR News. Investigators have determined that pilot error likely led to the helicopter crash last year in Southern California that killed sports legend Kobe Bryant and 8 other people. Today, investigators said the pilot, Ara Zobayan, flew the Sikorsky S-76 into a thick layer of fog in an apparent violation of federal safety standards and became disoriented. The helicopter then banked abruptly and crashed into the hills below, killing everyone on board. Authorities in Myanmar have begun cracking down on demonstrators protesting last week's coup. The protests have been going on for days. Michael Sullivan is following developments from Thailand.
In a televised statement Monday night, the military warned protesters it would crack down on any further protests. That warning and a ban on large gatherings was ignored by protesters who turned out in force again today and were met in some cases by water cannon and rubber bullets in both Myanmar's second city, Mandalay, and the capital, Naypyidaw. There are reports of live rounds being fired into the air. Among the protesters are activists and unionists. More demonstrations are planned. Protesters are demanding a return to democracy and the release of Aung San Suu Kyi. She's not been seen in public since last week's coup. For NPR News, I'm Michael Sullivan in Chiang Rai.
In Minnesota, police say multiple people have been shot at a health clinic and someone was taken into custody. The Associated Press reporting the shooting happened at the Alena Health Clinic in Buffalo, a city northwest of Minneapolis. At last check on Wall Street, the Dow was up 33 points. You're listening to NPR News.
AP News. I'm Ed Donahue.
There can be no doubt that this is a valid and legitimate impeachment.
The impeachment trial of former President Donald Trump is underway in the Senate. A video was shown of the riot at the Capitol on January 6th. Maryland Democratic Congressman Jamie Raskin is the House impeachment manager.
You ask what a high crime and misdemeanor is under our Constitution? That's a high crime and misdemeanor. If that's not an impeachable offense, then there is no such thing.
The AP Sagar Magani reports Democrats say they will be able to work on other big topics.
The trial will take up several days as senators also discuss President Biden's virus relief package and more cabinet nominees. Washington Democrat Patty Murray says they'll just have to multitask like everybody else.
Moms, dads, students, educators, frontline workers, you name it.
They don't have the luxury of working on just one thing.
They've got to get it all done. And so do we.
Montana Democrat John Tester isn't worried.
I have never been overworked in the United States Senate yet.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
Multiple people were shot at a Minnesota health clinic, and police say someone has been taken into custody. White House coronavirus coordinator Jeff Zients says they're taking steps to boost the supply of coronavirus vaccine.
When we came into office 3 weeks ago, the weekly delivery was 8.6 million doses. And today we're announcing that we will increase weekly vaccine doses going to states, tribes, and territories to 11 million.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says starting next week, any non-essential travelers arriving in Canada by land will need to show a negative coronavirus test. Investigators say the pilot of the helicopter that crashed in L.A., killing Kobe Bryant and eight others, went against his training and violated flight rules by flying into thick clouds. This is AP News. The WHO says booster shots may be needed to protect against variants of the coronavirus.
Dr. Anthony Fauci says drug makers have been looking into beefing up their vaccines, but the current ones on the market do protect against the variants, more or less. Less in the case of South Africa, more in the case of the UK.
The Moderna and the Pfizer look to be pretty good to protect even against that variance.
About that UK variant?
Probably by the end of March, it could become the dominant strain in the United States, which to me is even more reason to get as many people as possible vaccinated as quickly as possible.
The Brazil variant is also in the U.S. I'm Julie Walker.
The Vatican is calling for a new paradigm of care for older people after what it calls the massacre brought by the coronavirus pandemic. The Vatican's Pontifical Council of Life issued a position paper making the case for a global rethink. Ed Donahue, AP News.
If your friends haven't told you, McDonald's Spicy Chicken McNuggets are back. The ones made with spicy tempura.
This is an NBC News Radio special report, the impeachment trial. Day one of the second Senate impeachment trial for former President Donald Trump is getting underway. Before it did, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer presented what he expects to happen.
I believe the managers will present a very strong case. The evidence will be powerful. The evidence, some of it will be new.
Trump is accused of inciting the deadly mob attack at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Trump is the first president in U.S. history to be impeached twice by the House. He was previously impeached for pressuring the president of Ukraine to investigate Democratic rival Joe Biden and his son. Trump's attorneys will argue it's unconstitutional to try the former president since he is no longer in office. A conviction would require 67 votes in the 100-member Senate. The trial is expected to continue into the weekend and likely into next week. Tom Roberts, NBC News Radio.
This is a CNN breaking news alert for Tuesday, February 9th, 2021 at 1:21 p.m. Eastern Time. The second impeachment trial of former President Donald Trump is officially underway. On the trial's opening day, Trump's title of former president will be front and center. After the Senate approves the rules of the trial, the Senate will hear from the House impeachment managers and Trump's team about whether the trial itself is constitutional. For more CNN audio news, go to cnn.com/audio, cnn.com, or the CNN app.
People arriving in England from countries badly affected by coronavirus will have to pay £1,750 each for a 10-day hotel quarantine package that includes two tests. Ministers announced the plans as part of efforts to keep new COVID variants out of the country. Anyone caught trying to evade the measures could face tough fines or prison. Labour described the plans as too little too late. Professor Andrew Hayward is the director of the Institute of Epidemiology at University College London.
With most measures, if you're going to introduce them, then introducing them sooner is better than later. I think one of the particular problems with new variants is that by the time that you realise that they're a problem in another country, the likelihood is that you will have already imported them. And sure enough, we know that there are cases of the South African variant in the country.
Scientists from the World Health Organization, who've been investigating the origins of the pandemic in the Chinese city of Wuhan, say they don't believe the virus escaped from a lab. They think it probably came from bats, but have suggested it could have arrived in Wuhan on frozen food, perhaps from outside China. Cumbria County Council is to review the planning permission granted for a new coal mine. Environmental campaigners had criticised both the council and the government for giving the project the go-ahead. Our environment analyst, Roger Harabin, says the issue has put ministers in a tricky situation.
The government decided it wasn't going to call it in, and that brought an avalanche of criticism on Boris Johnson's head, because he is leading a climate change conference in November and trying to lead the whole of the world away from coal, whilst allowing a new coal mine to be dug on his own land, in his own country.
The second impeachment trial of Donald Trump is getting underway in Washington. The former president is charged with inciting insurrection in a speech to supporters ahead of a riot at the US Capitol in which five people died. Anita Kumar, the White House correspondent for the American journal Politico, says Democrats are unlikely to be successful.
They need 67 senators to vote for this, and the chance of 17 Republican senators to vote to convict him is very, very slim. Even though they're going into this knowing it's going to be a quick trial, they feel like it's important for everyone to know and to send that message that if you act a certain way, you will be held accountable.
A spacecraft operated by the United Arab Emirates has successfully gone into orbit around Mars after travelling for 7 months on a 300 million mile journey from Earth. The probe, called Hope, will study the red planet's climate. The Queen's granddaughter, Princess Eugenie, has given birth to a boy. Buckingham Palace said the baby was born at 8:55 this morning, weighing 8 pounds and 1 ounce. The princess's husband, Jack Brooksbank, was present at the birth.